ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. Then to continue with the explanation of the three fundamental principles of Thalathat al-Usul of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafizahullah, then we were on the second fundamental principle, knowledge of the religion, a servant's knowledge of his religion, the religion of Islam. And we were on the point that Islam, or we had the point that Islam is of three levels. The first basic level is Islam, with its five pillars. And then we moved on to the second level, the second and higher level, which is Al-Iman. So, just to summarize what we had last week, then we had the completion of the first level, the level of Islam, the fifth of the five pillars, the Hajj. And as Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, it is an obligation to perform the Hajj once in a lifetime upon those who are able to perform it. They have ability with regard to bodily ability, they have enough health and bodily strength to be able to perform the Hajj, to travel to make Hajj, and they have the ability with regard to wealth to go and perform the Hajj. And those who are not able bodily, but they have sufficient wealth, then they should, and they have an illness that prevents them, a permanent illness that prevents them from performing the Hajj, then they should pay someone else to perform it on their behalf. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, as for the person who is able to perform the Hajj, he's able to, but he refuses to do so, then such a person will be committing kufr. And that kufr will vary according to his type of, the type of person, what, the person, what he's, how he is refusing. If it's a refusal which involves his denying its obligation, that he refuses, he's able to go for Hajj, he refuses to go for Hajj, and he denies it's obligatory, then that person is a kafir, by consensus. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, as for a person, though he's able to perform the Hajj, but he's just lazy, he puts it off and he's just lazy and he doesn't perform the Hajj, then this will be lesser kufr. He doesn't deny the obligation, but he just lax and lazy about it, he doesn't get around to doing it. Then this will be kufr, this will be lesser kufr, that which does not in itself take a person outside the fold of Islam. And if that type of person dies and he leaves behind sufficient wealth, then someone should, from his wealth, should perform Hajj with his wealth in place of him. Because it's a debt which is owed to Allah. So it should be carried out from his wealth. Then we moved on to the second level. So that's the first basic level with regard to the religion. The Islam has three levels. The first basic level of Islam, the second and higher level, Al-Iman. The level of Al-Iman. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that in the Arabic language, he defined, as we always define important words in our religion, linguistically in the Arabic language what it means, and then specifically in the Islamic legislation, what is the specific legislated meaning in that regard. So he said, with regard to the word Al-Iman, that in the language it means at-tasdiq, to believe, or to mean to attest to something with the heart. That's what the meaning is of Iman in the Arabic language. Then with regard to its the legislative meaning, the Islamic meaning of Iman, with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because Shaykh al-Fawzan indicated that the people, the sects within this Ummah differ greatly with regard to definitions of Iman. But the correct definition, the definition of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, is that Iman is قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَاَعْتِقَادٌ بِالْقَلْبِ وَعَمَلًا بِالْجَوَارِحِ يَزِيدْ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَيَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ. That Iman is speech of the tongue, belief of the heart, action of the limbs, it increases with obedience to Allah, and it decreases through disobedience. So Shaykh Fawzan then commented upon that and said, obviously making clear therefore that Iman comprises belief of the speech of the tongue, belief of the heart, and action of the limbs. All of these three are component parts of Iman. Then Shaykh Fawzan made clear that as for speech of the tongue, then it's essential that along with speech of the tongue, there is belief in the heart, correct belief in the heart. Because if a person expresses Iman upon his tongue, but he does not believe it in his heart, then he will be like the hypocrites, like the munafiqeen, those who say upon their tongues that they are believers, but in their hearts they disbelieve. He said, and in addition to speech upon the tongue and belief in the heart, there is action of the limbs is also necessary. Action of the limbs, the third factor, which is doing the obligatory actions and avoiding the forbidden things. And Shaykh Fawzan mentioned that this comprises the whole of the religion. The whole of religion in that sense is doing what's commanded and avoiding what's forbidden. And that includes some things which are essential and some things which are matters of completion. Then he moved on and explained the fact, because the hadith came in the text with regard to the pillars, or the branches of Iman, that the branches of Iman are 60 and odd, or 70 and odd, according to the two different narrations. The text, the main text here, we had the narration that Iman is 70 and odd branches. And he made the point that when Iman and Islam are mentioned together, this is a point that keeps coming up in the books, we've had it a number of times, that when Iman in a text of the book or a text of the Sunnah, when Iman and Islam are mentioned together, then each of them has a separate meaning. That when they're mentioned together in a text, as occurs in the hadith of Jibreel, both Iman is mentioned and Islam is mentioned. And when they're both mentioned together in a single text, the meaning of Islam is that Islam is used to mean and apply to the outward actions, the pillars, the outward actions. And Iman is used to mean the inner beliefs. The six pillars of belief, the inner beliefs. And that if one of them occurs in a text on its own, Islam occurs and Iman is not mentioned. Or Iman occurs in a text and Islam is not mentioned. Then that case, each one of them covers the other one. Islam is mentioned alone, it means the beliefs and the actions. It doesn't just mean, oh, you can do the outward actions and you don't have to have the beliefs in your heart. No, it means both. And, or if Iman is mentioned on its own in a text, then it means the beliefs and the actions. Then Shaykh Fawzan, he mentioned that as for the Muslim, then the Muslim has to combine both. Iman suffice with one. You have to combine, a Muslim has to combine both. Islam with its five pillars and Iman with its six pillars. And at the end of the section, Shaykh Fawzan pointed out how the hadith of the branches of Islam, or the hadith of the branches of Iman, that Iman is of 70 and odd branches, the highest of them is the saying La ilaha illallah, and the lowest of them is removal of that which is harmful from the path, and Al-Haya, true sense of shame, is a branch of Iman. He explained how this is a proof for the saying of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Iman is comprises speech of the tongue, belief of the heart, and action of the limbs. How? He said, because La ilaha illallah, the saying La ilaha illallah is a saying upon the tongue. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described, this is the hadith where he described the branches of Islam, that they are 70 and odd. And he mentioned from them the highest, which was a saying, La ilaha illallah. That proves the sayings of the tongue are from Iman. Then he mentioned removal of that which is harmful from the pathway. That is an action of the limbs. Proof that action of the limbs are from Iman. And then finally, Al-Haya, sense of shame, which is an action of the heart. So that's a proof that actions of the heart are from Iman. So that is a proof for the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah that Iman comprises sayings upon the tongue, belief of the heart, and action upon the limbs. Then, the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he continues And he brings a section where he mentions the pillars. So he mentioned there the branches. Now comes the pillars, the six pillars of Iman. So there comes a section on page 201 of this Lebanese edition, page 156 of the Egyptian edition, to which there is a small heading here. Obviously the headings here are additional. They're not in the original text of Shaykh al-Islam. They're just headings to help us understand the different sections. The heading, Arkanul Iman, the pillars of Iman. The pillars of Iman. So now we're on the second and more specific level of the religion, the level of Iman. And now we have the section, the pillars of Iman. What are they? So then there comes the text, Qala, meaning the author said. This is not from the text, actually, the word Qala, but it's just that the author said. So then the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, وَأَرْكَانُهُ سِتَّةٌ أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And its pillars are six. To have Iman, to truly believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers, and in the last day, and that you truly believe, you have Iman in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it. So in explanation of this, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, al-Iman, Iman, true faith, is composed of arkan, of pillars, and of shu'ab, and of branches. So what is the difference between these two? When we say Iman has pillars and it also has branches, what's the difference between pillars and branches of it? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the difference is that the arkan, the pillars, are essential. They've got to be present. They have to be present for Iman to be present. The difference is that the pillars, the six pillars that we'll see, that we'll follow in this section after this, and that have just been mentioned, the difference is that the pillars are essential. So if one of them passes away, then Iman itself passes away. And you can't have Iman unless you have the six pillars of Iman. Without any one of them, anyone's missing, you won't have Iman. So if one of them passes away, then Iman passes away. Because a thing will not be established except upon its supporting pillars. I mean, essential supporting pillars, if you don't have them, for the thing will fall. So if a pillar from its pillars is missing, then it will not be realized and brought about. So that's what is the meaning of the pillars, of six essential things for Iman. Then he says, as for the shu'ab, as for the branches, then they are mukammilat. They are things which complete it, things which bring about the completion of Iman, completion and perfection. As for the shu'ab, the branches, then they are things which complete it. Iman does not pass away if something from them is omitted. Rather, they are things which complete it. Either they are wajibat, obligatory things, or mustahabbat, recommended things. I mean, the shu'ab, the branches, some of them are things which are obligatory. They are binding, obligatory. And some of them are recommended. Then he says, so the wajibat, the obligatory things, are for the obligatory completion of Iman. And as for the mustahabbat, the recommended things, then they are for the desirable completion of Iman. So he made it clear now that the pillars are essential. They have to be there. All six pillars have to be there for iman to be present. Then we move on to the second matter, the matter of the branches. The branches, some of them are obligatory, and some of them are recommended matters, desirable and recommended. Those branches which are obligatory, then they are necessary for the obligatory completion of iman. There's a certain level of iman that it's obligatory that you have that level. So the obligatory duties, they're essential for that obligatory level. Beyond, above and beyond that, recommended things, which are recommended for the completion and perfection and finishing off of iman. They are recommendations. Then he said, so if a Muslim leaves something from the obligatory duties, or he does something from the forbidden things, then his iman will not pass away totally in the view of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I mean, he's done something that's necessary for the obligatory completion of iman, or he's left something out which is necessary for that, or he's done something forbidden, then in the view of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he doesn't exit from iman totally by doing that. But rather, the obligatory perfection of iman is missed out on. He's missed out on the obligatory perfection of iman. So he will be the one who's done something forbidden, or he's left an obligatory duty. So he will be deficient in iman, or he will be fasiq, a sinful person. You can say it this way, or you can say it that way. You can say he's naqis al iman, he's deficient in his iman, or you can say he's a fasiq, he is a sinful person. Just as would be the case if he alcohol, or to steal, or to commit fornication, or to do something from the major sins, from the kaba'ir. This one would be a person who has done something forbidden and who had committed a major sin. However, he does not become a disbeliever through that, and he does not depart from iman. Rather, he is a fasiq, he is a sinner, and the had, the prescribed punishment, will be established upon him, if that sin has a prescribed punishment. And if he's in the Islamic country, the authorities catch, he commits one of these major sins for which there is a prescribed punishment. Stealing, for example, committing fornication, and so on. And then he's caught by the authorities, then that prescribed punishment is established upon him. So if that sin has a prescribed punishment for it, then it's established upon him. Sheikh said, and likewise, whoever leaves an obligation, such as abandoning being righteous towards the parents, be dutiful and righteous towards the parents, whoever abandons that, or maintaining ties of kinship, ties of relationship with your relatives, these are obligatory acts. So whoever leaves them, whoever abandons them, then his iman is deficient. His iman is reduced. And he is sinful because of his abandoning the obligatory duty. So he will be a sinful person. He will be a sinner. Either by abandoning something obligatory or by doing something forbidden. And whichever is the case, he will not exit from iman, but rather he will be a mu'minun, he will be a mu'min naqisul iman. He will still be a believer, but he will be a believer who is deficient in his iman. The Shaykh said, this is the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the position of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. Contrary to the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. I mean, this is a very serious issue where two sects have gone astray. the Khawarij, or many, a number of sects, but amongst them, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila have gone astray on this matter. That a person, a Muslim, who commits a major sin, or he abandons something obligatory, or does something forbidden, commits a major sin. So Shaykh has just explained what is the position of the people of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah with regard to that. Then he said, contrary to the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, those who declare the person who commits a major sin to be a disbeliever, a kafir. So the Khawarij, they declare him to be a kafir. And they declare him to have exited from the religion. I mean, a Muslim who commits a major sin. The Khawarij say about him, he's a kafir now, and he's outside the religion of Islam. And the Mu'tazila, they declare that he has exited from the religion, the person who committed a major sin. They declare that he has exited from the religion. However, they do not enter him into disbelief, kufr. Rather, they say he is in a manzila bayn al-manzilatayn. He is in a station in between the two stations. In between, he's left, they say, the Khawarij say, the Muslim who commits major sin, he's a kafir. He's left Islam, he's a kafir now. The Mu'tazila say he's left Islam, but he's not entered into kufr. He's in between, in between stage. He is not a mu'min, he is not a believer, and he is not a kafir. He's not a disbeliever. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is their position, and it is an innovated position. It is contrary to the texts, it's contrary to the proofs, and it is contrary to what the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are upon. And the reason for it, I mean the reason, why did they come, why did the Khawarij and why did the Mu'tazila come to this conclusion, this erroneous conclusion, why did they come to it? The Shaykh said, the reason in that is their falling short in the use of evidence. Since they take hold of the evidences of al-wa'id, they take hold of the evidences containing textual threats, and they abandon the evidences of promise, the adillat al-wa'id, the adillat al-wa'ad. They leave off the textual promises. I mean, where they find a text that whoever commits this sin, there's a threat of the hellfire. They take hold of that, saying, therefore, whoever does such, they take hold of it. They take hold of the threats, and they leave aside the texts which mention a promise. The Shaykh said, they leave aside the evidences of promise, such as his saying, he the Most High, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 48. This is one of the texts containing a promise that they leave aside in this regard. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 48, with the explanation. Allah does not forgive that anything be associated with him, that shirk is done along with him. But he forgives whatever is less than that to whomever he wishes. But he forgives whatever is less than that. Whatever is less than that. To whomever he wishes. This is from the evidences of al-wa'ad, of promises. It proves that the sinful person who does not reach the level of shirk and kufr, that there is hope for him of forgiveness, and that he is open to receiving the threat and punishment. In both, as I mean, he's taht al-mashi'ah, the person who commits major sin, then Allah, if he wishes, will forgive him, or Allah, if he wishes, will punish him. So there is a promise there that is open to promise or is open to threat. The Shaykh said, so if you take the if you take this along with his saying, he the Most High, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Surah Al-Jinn, the 72nd surah, ayah 23, with the explanation. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then for him will be the fire of hell. They will dwell therein forever. So Shaykh is saying, if we take the promise, we keep the promise in mind contained in the earlier text, along with this, now there's a threat. Shaykh said, whoever takes hold of what is apparent, I mean like the Khawarij or like the Mu'tazila, from this ayah we just heard from Surah Al-Jinn, whoever just takes what's apparent from that ayah only, whoever takes hold of what is apparent will declare those who commit sin to be disbelievers, unrestrictedly. Just to repeat the ayah, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Again with the explanation, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then for him there will be the fire of hell, dwelling therein forever. So Shaykh saying what's apparent, obviously what's the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila understand when they see this ayah, straight away that's it. Whoever commits a sin, kafir. Major sin, kafir. Or outside Islam, Mu'tazila outside Islam. So Shaykh said, so whoever takes what is apparent here will declare those who commit sins to be disbelievers, unrestrictedly. But if he refers it back to his saying, He the Most High, Allah la yaghfiru, inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bi, wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha'u. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, again, ayah 48, the same ayah that we had before. Whoever takes this ayah and refers it back and understands it along with him. But he does forgive whatever is less than that to whomever he wishes. For whomever he wishes. Then, so whoever understands this ayah, the ayah from Surah Al-Jinn, understands it along with the ayah from Surah An-Nisa, then the truth will become clear to him. And that this person does not exit from the religion. But rather, he does have a threat of the fire. So if Allah wishes, He will forgive him. And if He wishes, He will punish him. In contrary, again, contrary to Khawarij and Mu'tazila, they say, no, he's going to be punished. In the next life, he will be punished. He'll be in the fire forever. The Muslim, who was a Muslim, he committed major sin, then he died upon it. There's no, so they don't put it beneath Allah's Mashi'ah. They say, no, he will certainly receive punishment in the fire, and he will not come out of the fire. He will remain in the fire forever. So Shaykh is saying, because they take the like of this ayah that was mentioned from Surah Al-Jinn, and they don't take it along with and in the light of the ayah from Surah An-Nisa. And if they were to do so, then the truth, as the Shaykh said, the truth would become clear to him, that such a person does not exit from the religion, and that he does have a threat of the fire upon him. So if Allah wishes, He will forgive him, and if He wishes, He will punish him. Then the Shaykh said, so he may receive mukaffirat, expiating affairs. Things may happen to him in his life. The one who committed a major sin, things may happen to him in his life which wipe away sins. Things which wipe away sins in this world. Or he may receive punishment in the grave, which wipes away these evil acts. And the mukaffirat, those expiating affairs, matters which wipe away sins, are many. And then the Shaykh gives some examples. Things that wipe away a believer's sins. He said that he is tried with calamities, that he is tried with punishments in this world, or that he is punished in his grave, or otherwise that it is put off until the day of resurrection, and that then he is taht al-mashi'ah, he is beneath Allah's wish and will. The Shaykh said, this is the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. again, contrary to the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, who do not say he's beneath Allah's Mashi'ah, his wishing will say, no, next life, he'll be in the hellfire forever. Whereas the people of the Sunnah say, no, either Allah will forgive him, or Allah will punish him for a time, and then remove him from the fire and enter him into paradise. And he is still a believer. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the difference between the shu'ab, the branches, and the arkan, the pillars. So whoever leaves something from the pillars, then he becomes a disbeliever. I mean, the six pillars of iman, whoever leaves one of them, he becomes a disbeliever. Whoever denies tawheed, obviously we go to the first pillar of iman, iman in Allah. Whoever denies tawheed and commits shirk along with Allah, the mighty and majestic, then he becomes a disbeliever because he has left the first pillar. And whoever denies any one of the messengers becomes a disbeliever because he has abandoned a pillar from the pillars of Islam. I mean the pillars of Iman, that is. And whoever denies the angels, then he becomes a disbeliever and he exits from the religion. And whoever disbelieves in the resurrection or disbelieves in the paradise or the fire or the sirat, the bridge of the fire, or in the mizan, the balance, or anything which is established from the affairs of the hereafter, whoever denies any of it, then he becomes a disbeliever because of that. Because he has denied a pillar from the pillars of Iman. Likewise, whoever denies pre-decree, al-qadr, and says, al-amru unuf, that things just occur without prior ordainment. And things occur without pre-decree from Allah. Events just unexpectedly occur. And events just happen. And what they mean by that is mean events just happen. That even Allah, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen. But that what they're meaning is even Allah, the Most High, does not know events are going to happen until they actually occur. He doesn't know what is going to happen until it happens. So the Sheikh said that they say that there is no pre-decree there. As is said by the extremists from the Mu'tazila, then he becomes a disbeliever also because he has denied pre-decree. Then he says, Shaykh al-Fawzan, so that's with regard to whoever denies a pillar, any of the pillars of Iman, he becomes a disbeliever. But as for who abandons, whoever leaves something from the branches, from the shu'ab, then this causes his Iman to be deficient. Either it will be a deficiency in the obligatory perfection, or it will be a deficiency in the recommended perfection. However, he does not become a disbeliever on account of that. I mean, whoever leaves a branch, one of the branches of Iman, as we said, some of the branches are essential, you must do them, they're obligatory. So if a person leaves one of those, then his Iman is deficient. With regard to what's obligatory from Iman, his obligatory Iman is deficient. And if he leaves something recommended, then the recommended perfection is deficient in his regard.